the Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Don't Ever Leave Me. Attention. If you had a chance to trade a dirty, discolored automobile for a beautiful, shining car that your family would be proud to ride in, you'd make the trade in a hurry, wouldn't you? Well, do you know that if your car is now foggy, streaked, and neglected-looking, you can, within an hour, change its appearance completely so that the finish will shine like a mirror? Now, all this is possible if you use Johnson's Car New, a remarkable new type auto polish that both cleans and wax polishes your car with one application. Johnson's Car New takes the work out of polishing automobiles just as Johnson's self-polishing glow coat has taken the work out of polishing floors. With Car New, the complete job takes less time and effort than was formerly required for the cleaning process alone. The results are almost miraculous. Although Car New has been on the market only a few months, thousands of car owners will tell you that this double-action cleaner and wax polish is the easiest, most satisfactory product they have ever used. Women can wax polish their cars alone with this easy-to-apply liquid polish, which requires no hard rubbing. Car New dries quickly to a white powder. Wipe off the powder, and all the dirt and road film disappear. Your car takes on a dazzling brilliance that will make you exclaim, "Why, your car looks like new," when you use Car New. C-A-R-N-U. Johnson's Car New. Buy it where automobile supplies are sold or at your regular wax dealers. Well, the papers are full of track meets, Olympic candidates, and other sporting news. But Fibber is staying home with a little oral athletic event of his own, a jumping toothache. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, we find a derelict of dental devastation, soothed by a sympathetic spouse, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, oh.
Ah, you poor dear.
Oh, is my face any more swole, Molly?
It certainly is on one side. You look like a composite photograph of Laurel and Hardy.
Believe me, if I'm hardy enough to last through the day with this toothache, I can rest on my laurels.
Ouch! That rat affair goes again.
Now, look, McGee, you've either got to make up your mind to go to the dentist or do something else.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what?
Let's do something else. Come in.
Did somebody knock?
No, but they're going to. This tooth has got me so sensitive, I anticipate things. You see? Come in.
Mr. Benny?
No, this is Tuesday.
Oh, darn it, I must have overslept.
Overslept. How does my face look now, Molly?
Well, to be sympathetic, not so bad. But to be frank, it's terrible.
Oh.
Listen, McGee, remember how people used to put a string around a loose tooth and tie it to the doorknob?
Oh, yeah, but hey, you ain't going to do that to me, are you?
Well, it seems to be a choice between the doorknob or the dentist.
Okay, I'll take the doorknob. The dentist is definite, but the string might slip. Go ahead, there's some string in that drawer.
Heavenly days, look at this drawer. Looks like a tornado in a 10-cent store. Fishing tackle, pipe cleaners, dominoes, bicycle clips.
Is that where them bicycle clips are? I've been looking for them since 1912.
Ow!
Now, be brave, dearie. It won't be long now. Here's the string. Now, open your mouth wide. I want a room to tie a nice bow knot.
A bow knot on my tooth?
Yes. I want it to look neat if anybody should come in.
Oh.
There, now. You sit in that chair and make yourself comfortable while I tie the other end to the doorknob. There, now.
Oh, don't come in. Don't come in. There's nobody home.
For goodness sakes, McGee, you can't put it off forever. You ought to be glad there was no suspense. Now brace yourself, dearie.
Okay.
Come in.
Oh. Is my tooth out, Molly?
No, dearie, it pulled the knob off the door. What was it you wanted, sir?
Would you be interested? I'm taking subscriptions. I'm working my way through the universe. Do you need any magazine? Do you take time?
Time for what?
Well, I'm referring to the public. You see, we're having a sales competition. Well, how about Collier's?
No, thanks, bud. I got a bad eye tooth and I can't read.
Well...
Well,
just this week, we're featuring this offer is so spectacular. It's so spectacular. Say, excuse me, brother, but there's a piece of string hanging out of here. There's a piece of string hanging. Hey, lady, you got him hooked. Why don't you pull him in?
I think he's got a string on his own teeth. With slip knots.
Well, as long as the doorknob idea didn't work, McGee, you got to go to the dentist. Let's go down and see Dr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, not that Gildersleeve.
Why, he's a very good dentist. We used to go to school with him, remember?
Yeah.
I think you don't like him because he used to have a crush on me.
I've outgrew that, but I never did like that. I wouldn't let him fill a tooth in my pocket comb. I ain't going.
You're not?
No.
What?
Shall we walk or take the car?
We'll walk. The fresh air will do you good, dear. Come on now.
Oh, okay. Sweep them leaves off this porch. Pretty near there, Molly?
Yes, dearie. Do you feel any better now?
Oh, no. Every step I take, I get a sharp shooting pain in that tooth.
Oh, heavenly days. Here, open your mouth, McGee.
Oh.
There, now, is that better?
Oh, boy, I'll say it is. What'd you do?
I took the string off. You've been dragging that doorknob for 2 blocks.
Singing the One Rose. Beautiful song, too, Don. Didn't you think so, Molly?
I certainly did, Mr. Novus.
Well, thanks. But say, folks, did you ever hear how that song came to be written?
The One Rose? No, I don't believe so, Don. How?
Well, down in Tin Pan Alley, one composer got jealous of another composer and put a firecracker under his piano stool.
Uh-huh. Well, what happened?
The one rose.
Well, see you later, folks. The one rose. Well, after a bloomer like that.
Ouch, that red there goes
again. Why, Mr. McGee, what seems to be the matter?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppy?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Oh, hi, Uppy.
Do you realize that your face is horribly swollen, Mr. McGee?
Yes, I think he's noticed it, Mrs. Uppington, haven't you, dear?
Oh, yes, I saw it in a mirror this morning. So I looks at it and I says to it, I says, mirror, mirror on the wall, do you think this dad ratted swelling will be gone before fall?
Oh, my, how ridiculous.
I thought so too.
Oh, but really, Mr. McGee, you should do something about that face of yours immediately.
That's a coincidence, Uppy. The first time I met you, I says the very
McGee.
Same
man. He's got a bad toothache, Mrs. Uppington. We're on our way to the dentist.
Oh, I see. But confidentially, I am rather superstitious about mirrors myself. They do tell the truth about yourself. Now, for instance, Mr. McGee, look at this one in my handbag.
Huh?
Does this one say anything to you?
It's kind of cracked, Uppy.
Yes, isn't it? Well, so nice to have seen you again. Goodbye.
Certainly walked right into that one, dearie.
You know, sometimes I wonder if Uppy ain't a little smarter than she looks. And then again, I realize she'd almost have to be.
Whoa there, Johnstown! Whoa! Hello there, Johnny! Hello, daughter! Know where I can find a good dentist?
There's several right down in the middle of the block, old-timer. I'm on my way to one myself.
Much obliged. Johnstown's here got a bad wisdom tooth.
Oh, you mean that mule? You're taking him to the dentist?
Hey!
She says you can't take a mule to a dentist's office. The proper place for mules is behind the plow. Or under the bed.
Ouch. That's pretty good, Johnny. And that's just about the way I heard it. Only the way I heard it, a feller named McGee says to me... Say, you can't take a mule to a dentist. Why not, says I, taking a burr out of his tail. He wouldn't have neglected his teeth if he hadn't have been a jackass.
Well, that's an awfully funny looking mule, Mr. Oldtimer. His left shoulder's a little high.
Yep, he's a California mule. Very unusual wither.
Oh.
Come on, Johnstown. Johnstown's a good mule.
Silly business. Imagine that, taking a mule to a dentist.
Oh, so I'm acting silly, am I?
Oh, I didn't mean you. Say, do you mean me?
Come on, McGee. Here's Dr. Gildersleeve's office.
I hope he gets this over with quick.
So do I. What's that magazine there, McGee?
This one?
Yes. Yeah.
Leslie's Weekly of April 10th, 1911.
Oh. Give me that one over there.
Hello there, folks. Say, have I got great news for you.
What is it, Mr. Wilcox?
Has peace broken out in Europe?
No, but listen. I was telling the dentist next door all about Carnew. You know that new Johnson auto polish that takes almost no effort to use?
Oh, yes, we know, Harlow. We got the same sponsor, remember?
What about it, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, I was telling this dentist how Carnew would give his dingy old automobile a gorgeous, glittering salesroom appearance. How all he has to do is apply it to the clean surface and let it dry and wipe it off, and presto!
Oh.
His car looks so high-hat, he's afraid to drive under a viaduct.
Oh.
Well, of course, being a dentist, he appreciated the value of a product like Carnew that would clean and polish in one operation.
Ain't he wonderful, folks? We had to train him to do that without gestures so he wouldn't knock himself out.
But, Mr. Wilcox, what's so unusual in Wilcox? What's so unusual in telling a dentist about Johnson's Carnew?
Why, don't you get it? It's the old story. Man bites dog. Patient gives dentist wax impression. Is that terrific or is that terrific?
Gives dentist wax impression. What old Harlow needs is a pivot tooth. All his conversation revolves around Johnson's wax.
Ouch! Dead rat, there it goes again.
Well, I don't imagine we'll have to wait long.
No, there's nobody ahead of us.
I'll bet you there is, I'll bet you.
Oh, hi there, little girl.
Oh, are you waiting to see the dentist, little girl?
Hmm?
Are you waiting to see the dentist?
No, I've seen one.
Oh.
He wears a white apron like a butcher.
Oh. Please, sis, that ain't a very pleasant picture you're drawing for me.
I'm not drawing a picture, I bet you. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, you are, huh?
Hmm?
She's kind of young for dental trouble, ain't she, Mom?
Yeah.
What seems to be your trouble, sis? I hope you ain't been eating too much candy.
Why?
Well, it ain't good for you. It's all that rich stuff that ruins your teeth when you're young. Remember that.
Well, gee, I bet you... Hmm?
I says you better take good care of your teeth while you're little or you're liable to lose them premature. Don't you believe me?
Definitely no. Dental decay is not necessarily and arbitrarily due to the consumption of foods high in caloric values, although undoubtedly there's a definite connection between dietary deficiencies and oral hygiene. It is my personal belief that hereditary factors are far more important. Or in other words, if you're a guy with bum teeth, so's your old man.
Gildersleeve, don't call us pretty soon. I'm
going to... Oh, there, Molly. Oh. Hello, McGee. Nice to see you. Step right in.
Well, thank you, Doctor. McGee has a tooth that's bothering him.
Yeah.
Yes, bad-looking face there.
Oh.
Sit right in the chair here, McGee.
Okay.
Now lift your chin while I put this bib on you.
Oh, I don't believe I could eat anything right now, Doc.
Oh. Quiet. The doctor knows what he's doing. Take a good look at that tooth, Doctor. I think maybe it's ulcerated.
Certainly, Molly, certainly. Which one is it, McGee?
Wow!
That's it, all right.
Oh.
Looks very bad, too. I'm afraid I'll have to give you gas.
Oh, gas.
Man bites dog again. Somebody gives McGee gas.
Have I got to take gas, Doc? Ain't you got any other anesthetics?
Oh, several, McGee. Cocaine, Novocaine, Monocaine, Coppercaine, Lipricaine, and Ambricaine.
Well, take your choice, McGee. The cane you ring is the cane you get.
Listen, you two, lay off the vaudeville. Go ahead, Doc. Give me Novocaine. Give me sugarcane. Give me gas, but give me. And get that tooth out of there. And don't hurt any more than you have to. Just remember, Doc, remember our boyhood friendship and take it gentle.
Ah, yes, the good old days. Public school 14.
Yeah.
I had quite a crush on you in those days, Molly.
Oh, now, Wilbur, I mean Dr. Gildersleeve. You didn't, really.
Oh, yes, I did. Don't you remember that big valentine I sent you?
No.
It was 2 feet across, covered with lace and filled with bonbons.
Yes.
Oh, I was so bashful, I was even afraid to sign my name to it.
Well, was that from you, Wilbur? McGee said he sent that.
Oh. Yes, yes, he would. Well, I guess all's fair in love and war, Molly. Between you and me, it was love. Between Fibber and me, it was war.
I remember. And say, will you ever forget the time
Listen,
we went on
folks,
the...
I hate to take the dew off your beautiful forget-me-nots, but could you spare a thought for a poor suffering fugitive from a forceps?
Excuse me, McGee, I'll get right at it.
Okay.
Now, just lean back and take it easy.
I'll lean back. You take it easy.
Now, put this mask over your face and breathe deeply.
Oh, is that for the gas, Doctor?
Yes, I'll give him nitrous oxide. Although for actors, I usually give mustard gas. It goes well with the ham. Quiet, McGee. Now, breathe deeply. I'll turn on the gas.
Oh, will it hurt him, Doctor?
Oh, he'll never know what's happening. You know, Molly, I often think of those old days in the little red schoolhouse. Do you remember Miss Fiditch, our old school teacher?
Oh, yes. Oh, you mean the one that... Oh, listen, Doctor, listen.
Gotta hurry. Don't want to be late for school.
Yeah, he's dreaming.
Oh.
He heard us mention the old school days. People under gas are very impressionable.
Oh, wanna get there before old Fiditch. Got a great trick I'm gonna play on Wilberforce Gildersleeve. Never know who done it either. Oh.
All right, children. School is dismissed.
Hey, Molly, can I carry your books?
Sure you can, Sticky McGee. But don't let the teacher see you. She'd faint if she saw you with a book in your hand.
Wilbur
Gildersleeve, you come right back here.
Oh, me, Miss Fiditch? What for?
You know very well what for, young man. You march right in here.
Oh,
boy.
Faith, and it looks like Wilbur's plain in hard luck now. Did you see the picture of Miss Fiditch he was after drawing on the blackboard?
Sure, Molly, but he's being a darn foolhardy for signing his own name to it, I think. Don't you, Stinky Puss?
Hey, listen, kids. Listen, kids, I drew that picture myself and signed his name to it.
Gee, I wish teacher hadn't kept him after school. She promised me I could polish all the desks.
Faith, and you're always wanting to be polishing something, Harlow.
Well, I like to polish things, gee. Hey, Stinky, what you got on?
A badge.
And what's the lettering on it say now?
Here, read it.
23 Skidoo. I love my wife, but oh, you kids. Faith, and tis a lot of nonsense.
I'm having a badge of two kids, and it is saying I need a very good joke. Chicken inspector.
Hey, you want to wear my badge, Molly?
Sure, Stinky. And would you be coming over to my house tonight for a bit of run, sheep, run?
No, I can't. Dad read it. Got to chop some wood and bring in some coal and haul out the ashes and all stuff like that there.
Fibber's got a girl, Fibber's got a girl, Fibber's got a girl.
Oh, I have not.
Faith and Stinky McGee, you just told me this morning that you like me.
Oh, shucks.
Hey, who's wanting to play games at Mumbly Park?
Ah, oh, you mean Mumbly Pay.
That's what I'm saying. Mumbly Morgishag. It is a
Stinky. Oh!
Now, let that be a lesson to you, Master Gildersleeve.
Oh!
The idea of drawing that terrible picture of me. You should be ashamed.
I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't. Somebody else did it and signed my name to it.
Ah, tell it to Sweeney.
Sure, and I've an idea you'll do your drawing standing up now for a while.
All right, one of you fellas do that picture, and I'll find out who did it. I'll get even one of these days. You'll see about it.
out of it. He must have been dreaming about something amusing. Look at him smile.
Wilbur is a cry, baby. Wilbur is a
cry. McGee, snap out of it, dearie. The doctor's all through now.
All right, McGee. Sit up.
What? Hi, Molly. Where am I?
Well, don't you remember, dearie? In Dr. Gildersleeve's office. Little Wilbur Gildersleeve that we went to school with?
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel now, dearie?
By the way, McGee, you remember that picture you drew on the blackboard? That gag you pulled on me?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just got even.
Huh?
I just pulled all your teeth.
Why, you never know such a thing. Why, he did. Oh, sure.
Bibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. And now, may I recommend that when you go to the New York World's Fair, you visit without fail the town of tomorrow. There you'll see the most delightful model homes you can imagine, every detail carried out to perfection. When you're admiring the interiors of these houses, the lovely polished floors and woodwork, the furniture with its shining wax luster, please take note that all the linoleum and wood surfaces are protected from daily wear, shielded from dirt and dust by the famous Johnson Wax products. Johnson's self-polishing blow coat, Johnson's paste and liquid wax, and Johnson's furniture polish are used exclusively in all of these model homes. These dependable polishes give greater charm to every room, from front hall to kitchen. Thousands of World's Fair visitors leave the town of tomorrow, determined that as soon as they get home, they will buy Johnson's wax, Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, and Johnson's furniture wax to give new beauty and protection to the things in their own homes. Be sure you get the genuine Johnson wax products for brighter luster, longer wear.
Gildersleeve ain't much of a dentist, Molly.
Well, I don't know, McGee. He did some beautiful work for Aunt Sarah.
Oh, he did, huh? What was her trouble?
Her sweet tooth.
Oh, her sweet tooth.
Yeah, she saw some French pastry one night, and her mouth watered so fast it washed out two bridges.
Folks, speaking of playing tricks with the ivories, we're delighted to announce that next week we'll have as our guest that brilliant musical humorist, the star of our summer show, Mr. Alec Templeton. And don't miss him. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Marlo Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night at the same time. Good night.
Parade for Spinach is from Naughty But Nice, Hang Your Heart on a Hickory Limb from East Side of Heaven, and Don't Ever Leave Me is from Jerome Kern's Sweet Adeline. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Thank you.